Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air Wednesday morning, state health officials have announced another 2,200 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Illinois, plus another 144 deaths. But as we've said before, because testing for the disease has been so limited, the number of actual cases is thought to be anywhere from 3 to 10 times higher. Later this hour, we talk to the author of a biography on Chicago writer Nelson Algren, once considered among America's greatest living writers, but who slipped into relative obscurity by the time he died in 1981. But first, this week, the Illinois State Treasurer's Office announced it would make another $250 million available to help small businesses. The money goes to banks that can in turn make bridge loans to those businesses aimed at helping them weather the pandemic. I spoke to State Treasurer Mike Frericks about this and other topics in a Zoom conversation yesterday afternoon. Treasurer Frericks, welcome back to the 21st.
It's nice to be back. Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
So there is a federal assistance program for small businesses. How does Illinois' COVID-19 relief program differ?
Well, it is different in that we don't offer loan forgiveness, but our program was never meant to compete with the federal SBA program. We were looking to work in cooperation with them. Hoping to design something that could complement what they're doing. But we got something up and running because we heard the stories. We know that people are hurting. We heard them from our friends and family and seeing doors close in our communities. And in the Treasurer's Office, we're not bothered by the partisan gridlock at the federal government, and we're smaller and more nimble. We felt we could get something up and running faster, and we already had relationships with banks in the state. So that's what we did. And that was good because we saw with the federal PPP program is there was a lot of uncertainty, a lack of information, and then ultimately a lack of money.
And could businesses, people qualify for both the federal program and the state program?
That they can. Like I said, we're not in competition. We're going to complement each other. A month ago, we announced the Treasurer's Office was going to set aside $250 million to capitalize banks and credit unions, so that they, in turn, can help small businesses push through this COVID-19 crisis.
And let's maybe help our listeners understand how exactly this works. I mean, the Treasurer's Office has all this money from the state to invest, until it's spent on various things. But X amount of dollars at any one time. And how, what do you do with that money? How does that money get from the, sort of state of Illinois' coffers, so to speak, to potentially helping small businesses?
Under our small business COVID-19 relief program, we deposit funds in a financial institution for a one-year term with participating financial institutions at a near zero deposit rate. You get 0.01%. And generally, we're prepared to offer lending institution deposits of up to $25 million in increments of $1 to $5 million. We're not the only small business loan program out there, but I believe that our program can complement those other programs. I'm the chief banker for the state of Illinois, but we don't have a state bank. So by partnering with financial institutions around the state, my office can make it possible for your local bank or credit union to offer bridge loans that can tide a business over until the details of other state or federal programs can be figured out. At least that is what we hope these bridge loans can accomplish.
So what does a small business have to do to be able to qualify for one of these bridge loans?
We make our qualifications very easy. One of the complaints we've heard with some other programs is they were overly burdensome, they were difficult to get information. We have three requirements. One, they have to be headquartered in the state of Illinois or promise to focus on the state of Illinois. We know this is a national pandemic, but as state treasurer, I focus on Illinois. The business has to have been shut down or limited due to COVID-19. And they have to be a small business. They have to have less than $1 million in liquid assets or $8 million in average annual receipts, according to the Small Business Administration.
So you mentioned the state's taking its money, accepting a very low interest rate from the bank, and then the bank in turn loans that money out to the businesses. What do you know what the interest rates are that the bank is charging the businesses?
Well, we offer a low rate in hopes they will then in turn pass those savings along to their customers. Depositive funds facilitate affordable loans, but we do put a hard limit not to exceed 4.75%. to small businesses and nonprofits can be used to provide bridge funding. They can use it to pay fixed debts, payroll, accounts payable, or other bills they may have.
And I don't know if there's a limitation in the law about how this is done, but is there, I mean, why not distribute the funds directly to small businesses instead of working through banks? Or is that just not even feasible under the way things are currently structured?
Well, in the treasurer's office, that's not feasible. Mm-hmm. I'm the chief banker for the state of Illinois, but we don't run a state bank. We don't make loans directly. So what we've done for more than three decades is we have linked deposit programs. The oldest and probably best known program is AgInvest. So we put a deposit in a bank at a below market interest rate. That bank then makes a comparable size loan to a farmer at a below market rate, but it has to be for a specific purpose. The loans are linked to our deposits. So when we were looking to set something up quickly, rather than creating something new, we already had this authority from the General Assembly to do something similar, and we just tailored it for small businesses struggling during this COVID-19 crisis.
We have heard from small business owners on the show in recent weeks, everyone from people who run bars and restaurants to hairstylists. Many of them, most of them, are struggling. Do you think that the additional $250 million added to this program is enough to sustain them as the stay-at-home order continues?
We think so. We're prepared to revisit this, though. Unlike the PPP, which ran out of money, we never ran out of money. We initially had $250 million available. We've had applications from 27 financial institutions for approximately $220 million that they can use. But not all of that money has gone out yet. But as we saw, we're getting closer to our original limit. We doubled it. We will, if there is continued interest out there, I think we'll revisit that number again. But our program is not as generous as the federal program. The federal program would have forgiven a lot of loans if they were used to keep employees on the payroll. Ours is still very much a loan, and I think that's why you saw PPP run out of money so quickly, but our program has not.
So as you mentioned, these small businesses have to go to a lender, to a bank, to receive the money. Where, and I think you said there were 27 of them, at least in the first round of the program, where are those lenders located? Are they more in the urban areas? Will people in rural areas be able to access this help?
Well, they're located around the state, but the majority of them are in rural areas. And that's because it's rural banks that tend to make more farm loans and are more likely to have participated in our AgInvest program. So we already have relationships with a lot of these rural community banks because of our AgInvest program. Banks in the Chicago area, not as much. So actually we have probably an overrepresentation of downstate banks versus Chicago banks.
So minority-owned businesses have reported that they have missed out on federal funding in the, like we said, the federal program. Business owners in Chicago wrote a letter to President Trump and members of Congress urging 25% of the proposed $250 billion federal payroll protection program go to Black-owned businesses looking for loans in, again, that federal program. How can you ensure that the state bridge loan program is equitable, that it's helping as many, you know, businesses as possible?
Well, because we have not run out of funds right now, there people who want loans have been able to approach their banks. Now, the banks ultimately make the decision of whom they loan to. They take the risk, but we help supply the capital to them. This means that as a state treasurer, I'm not allowed to have a lot of risk in our investments. General Assembly loves it when we tell them that we increased interest revenue for the state of Illinois, but they really dislike it if we tell them we lost money. Yeah. So this is up to the banks that are participating, but we make this available throughout the state of Illinois. We've had our staff reaching out to financial institutions around the state of Illinois to let them know of this program.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The 21st. We've been talking to Illinois State Treasurer Mike Frericks about a bridge loan program being run out of his office, aiming to help small businesses by taking state money, depositing it in local banks in Illinois, which can then hopefully loan it out to businesses at a relatively low interest rate. Treasurer, Governor, and there's a child yelling in the background in my house here. That's what happens.
That happens. I think that has become the new normal we talk about. We're all working from home these days, at least in the treasurer's office we are, and I assume yourself as well. And not only do we have to do our jobs, we've taken on new jobs as educators and tutors to our children.
How's that been for you? I mean, you obviously have a very high responsibility, high power job. Are you having to spend time teaching too?
I do. I enjoy it very much. I have an 11-year-old daughter. She is very self-sufficient. I can set her up in front of her computer with her Wi-Fi. She can work on lessons. But before I entered politics, I worked as a teacher. I enjoy working with young people, see them getting excited about learning. And it's been nice to spend more time with my daughter. All right. I know not every parent has that same experience.
Yeah, no, I mean, those of us who can work from home, I think, are in a fairly privileged position at this point. And I wanted to ask you, turning back to the state financial matters, Governor Pritzker has said that the pandemic could lead to a budget gap of, you know, depending on estimates, one estimate was $6 billion. If the graduated income tax is not approved by voters, it could be even more. I wondered, is there concern about, you know, this, is there concern about financing this bridge program specifically related to the budget deficit?
No, because this budget deficit is mostly in our general revenue fund. That's the state's largest fund. It funds most of the state's activities you think of. But state government is set up with over 700 different funds. And those funds can only be used for specific purposes. And while that money is waiting to be spent, it's growing. And we're in charge of investing that money. So money in the road fund or the leaky underground storage tank fund or the open space land acquisition fund cannot be used to pay Medicaid bills. It can't be used to pay for our schools. It can't be used to pay for our vendors. So there aren't quite the liquidity needs there. And that's why we're monitoring this. We've made now available $500 million, $500 million, out of a total state portfolio of around $13 to $14 billion. So no, at this point, we're not too worried about liquidity.
My favorite was always the Dry Cleaner Environmental Response Trust Fund myself, in terms of various state funds. And I suppose that it is possible, though, that at least barring the transportation funds, which are now constitutionally protected, some of that other money could be swept. I've heard experts say, well, Illinois doesn't really have, it hasn't filled its rainy day fund, but by being able to sweep these other funds, that is a way that it has been able to bridge state financial problems in the past. But I suppose cross that bridge when we come to it, to badly mix metaphors here. I also wanted to talk about another aspect of your job related to this pandemic. You, along with five other state treasurers, called on manufacturers of ventilators to release service manuals to repair those ventilators. This was back in March. I'm wondering, what is the status of that? Has there been progress? And why did you feel that was important to sign on to that effort?
Well, I am very active in the National Association of State Treasurers. We work with other state treasurers to figure what problems they're dealing with and help offer solutions to each other. And one state treasurer reached out to me and pointed out how, as there was an increased demand for ventilators, some of them were breaking down and that these hospitals would have to call basically a ventilator repairman. Now, there are two problems with that. One, it took them a while to get someone there to repair the ventilators. And two, these hospitals have protocols in place to keep their patients safe. And having people coming in from outside, potentially bringing in viruses with them, was against those protocols. And so these hospitals wanted to be able to have access. They purchased the ventilators. They want to have access to the schematics, to the manuals, so that they could repair them themselves. Now, as an investor in a lot of different companies, we sometimes sign on to such letters, but we thought it would be good and prudent in advance to call on these companies to make sure we had a plan in place so that the ventilators already in our hospitals were able to be serviced in a timely and safe manner.
And what would be your message for Illinoisans who might be small business owners or maybe they're out of work during this pandemic and they're worried about their finances? Do you have a message for them?
Yeah, this is a difficult time. And when people ask me how I'm doing, And they say it must be difficult having to uproot your office. I remind them that there are a lot of people out there who have it a lot worse than us. And we're going to need to pull together. There's a lot of uncertainty, and we need all hands on deck to help others now to lay the groundwork for recovery later. Right now, I think that if people are unemployed, we have some nice addition. The federal government gave some nice additional money for people on unemployment, but a lot of this depends on how long this goes on. If people are able to go back to work in the next few weeks, the pain and suffering will be a lot less than if this drags on into the fall. That's why it's so important that we all follow the recommendations of our leaders, of our scientists, epidemiologists, and do what we can to knock this virus out as quickly as possible.
Mike Frerichs is the treasurer of the state of Illinois. Treasurer Frerichs, thanks for joining us on the 21st.
Brian, thank you very much. Have a great day and stay safe.
Coming up, Chicago writer Nelson Algren died nearly 40 years ago today in relative obscurity. But one of his biographers, whose book is out this week in paperback, says Algren's focus on inequality and injustice should still speak to us today. I'm Brian Mackey, and this is The 21st. Stay with us.